This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Sport.
The party people!
Party people!
Let's make this a night they talk about. Forever, never, never.
Short side lefty. Burrows goes himself scored. He is in try scoring career best form.
Forever, never, never.
The hammer with a fatal special. Scores a try for the Bees.
Let's make.
Hell yeah, everybody's gonna know our name.
Then sends it back on the inside to Reid Marnie. He's over to score. The Peppers nailed it.
Everybody's gonna know our name.
Runs it himself and scores the game sealing try. Quick pass away to Warbrick. Oh, that's brilliant. That's got a pass at the party trick. Put some tomato sauce on him and ate him. What a hit that was. And he's over to score next to the post.
We are the party people. We set the bar and we take it way too far.
What a fork in the almost done.
Wow, what a way to finish.
We like to do what's never been done and break all the rules and make all the fun.
That is a superb team try from Kennedy Bankstown. And Nathan Cleary on the angle, run beats one out. Brilliant, Nathan Cleary.
What a player.
We're all back.
The moment, that future is now.
Game, set, bingo!
ABC Sports coverage of the 2025 NRL Premiership.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And on the ABC Listen app.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you from a hot, sunny Wollongong Stadium with temperatures in the high 20s. And who knows what to expect over today's three games after two stunning upsets last night. Alongside two-time Premiership winner Luke Lewis, the Daily and Sunday Telegraph's Michael Carayannis, I'm Andrew Moore. Great to be with you for the 3 o'clock game between St George Illawarra and South Sydney. The Dragons went down to the Bulldogs last Saturday at Jubilee, while the Rabbitohs edged past the Dolphins for his first up win. Team news is through for St George Illawarra. One change in terms of Matt Fiengay on the wing, going back to be 18th man. So Fiengay, who was the Matt Burton target a week ago, he's out, and Tyrell Sloan will play on the wing in jersey number 19. Front rower Toby Couchman goes back to the bench, and Blake Laurie will start in the front row in jersey 15 for St George Illawarra. And like I say, their 18th man is now Matt Fiengay. For South Sydney, no changes to the side selected through the week. Liam LeBlanc is the 18th man. And Bailey Bentley-Harpe will play on the wing as selected, replacing the injured winger Tyrone Munro, who broke his collarbone last week against the Dolphins. The referee for this game will be Ashley Klein with Casey Badger in the bunker. As I said, it's a beautiful warm day here in the Gong. Crowd starting to fill nicely, watching the New South Wales Cup game between St George Illawarra and South Sydney. And with 13 minutes and 30 seconds to go, it's the Dragons 30, leading South Sydney 18. New Dragons, Damien Cook and Lachlan Ilias will be going up against their former teammates, so that'll be fun. At 5.30 or 4.30 in Queensland, North Queensland plays Cronulla Sutherland at Townsville Stadium. Quentin Hull on the call with Grant Bell and Laurie Spooner. And at 7.30 or 6.30, Canberra hosts Brisbane. Great game to finish things off tonight at Canberra Stadium. And Tim Gable back for another year with Alan Tung and Sam Williams in the nation's capital. On this pre-game show, Warriors halfback Luke Metcalf, after last night's 20-point upset win over Manly Warringah in Auckland, and MC's Hammer Time, where we'll no doubt have updates on the injuries suffered by those Manly players, particularly last night, and also Penrith fullback Dylan Edwards. How about that for a result? The Sydney Roosters beating Penrith by 6 points in a thriller at Western Sydney Stadium. Your text messages are welcome throughout the next 8 hours on 0467 920 222. All right, let's go. Luke Lewis, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. I love coming down here to the Gong. It's sort of like a bit of a home game for us, and it's beautiful weather.
When you say us, you mean you.
Me and Michael.
An hour 50 drive.
And Ralphie. But, yeah, had a nice drive down this morning. The weather's outstanding. Looking forward to today. The reason why I'm looking forward to today, because yesterday I was so confident with the picks, which I got so wrong, and today's a proper coin toss. So
I reckon it's time to go the George Costanza route.
I'm going everything against whatever my gut says. I'm doing opposite.
Yep.
Because there was no way last night that I thought that could happen with Penrith and the Roosters, and they put egg on our face, especially Connor.
Well, there's no way in the world that the Roosters are going to beat Penrith and the Warriors are going to beat Manly.
No. Absolutely
and yet
not.
Both happen rather convincingly.
But you know what's funny, though? Everywhere I go, oh, mate, I picked the Roosters last night. If there's anyone out there who legitimately picked the Roosters last night before that game kicked off.
I don't know anything about footy.
I think they're throwing porky pies.
Yeah, that could be the case too. Michael Carrianos, great to see you. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm well, Andrew. Yeah, and hello, Louis. It was obviously a couple of bizarre results last night. I thought the Warriors were super, super impressive. And then Manly. It's been a concern for them now for the past, you know, probably two seasons where, you know, they look like they can win the competition.
Yep.
And they look like they could finish in the bottom four. And until they fix that up, they're not going to be a genuine premiership shot. So,
Their defence at times, Mike, we'll get into the game in more detail in a minute, but it seems similar to last year that when they drop the bundle defensively, they can't get it back.
Yeah, and they haven't fixed that. And that's a concern if I'm Anthony Seibold, because we know they're stack full of talent, right? And they can play at their best. I think they can challenge any side. But at their worst, they just look so poor and they can't find a way to arrest that slump mid-game. And then last night, what an outstanding performance from the Roosters. One of the great all-time club victories, I'd say.
I reckon so too. Yeah, we'll talk about those in a moment. What floats your boat in terms of the games today?
I think this one, as Louis said, don't know what to expect from either side. Dry track here, beautiful conditions in Wollongong, and an opportunity for, you know, Ilias and Cook up against their former side. An opportunity, you know, we know how much, you know, how dangerous Cody Walker is in conditions like this, and Jai Gray out the back. So if the Dragons have some of those defensive lapses that they have in the middle of the field like they did last week, they'll get punished. So I'm expecting a really close encounter.
I feel a bit for Matt Feinge. He just copped bomb after bomb after, or deep kick after deep kick from Matt Burton, got chased by that now famous Canterbury kick chase game. I don't think he dropped one, did he?
No.
He might drop one on the way down.
Maybe one or two, but under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
He was under a lot of pressure. And in that, they would have been getting the exact same. He'd be getting the exact same kicks over there today, especially with this sun the way it is and where it's located. That right wing will be getting peppered, especially down in that south corner.
The last night's result mean that the Cowboys are now special against Cronulla?
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's two specials you'd think this afternoon, wouldn't you? You'd think that it's Sharks up against the Cowboys. You'd think the Sharks get away with that nice and easily. And, no, I don't think there's a worry in the world. And you'd think Brisbane Broncos, with obviously, you know, Tarpany out and
Savage
as well. So, but, yeah, who knows? I'm so not confident anymore in picks after last night.
But you need days like yesterday, don't you, every now and then? To remind you that they play them for a reason. You're never quite sure what you're going to get when you turn up.
Yeah, it's the beauty of sport, right? What we saw last night, I think it happened in the AFL the night before too, is my AFL knowledge, right? That some.
Well, you actually know about the AFL.
I don't know who won. Wasn't there a massive outsider that won? It definitely happened.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely happened.
Oh, that was Carlton getting beat on Thursday night.
But it was...
By Richmond.
Yeah.
Bunch of young blokes.
Yeah. And that people were saying that sort of parallels with what happened at the NRL last night in terms of the magnitude of the upset, right? So, yeah, that's the beauty of it. That's the enough AFL.
What about you bringing in an AFL element to the conversation?
Normally when he talks AFL, you want to turn it off.
That's boring. No one cares about the school. I don't even know who played.
That was clear. You gave me no help. Around the grounds in the jersey.
You didn't know what happened.
I do know what happened. And I can go even further that the...
No, that's enough.
Okay. In the jersey flag, Manly Warringa 32 have beaten the Warriors 28. We've seen St George Illawarra 22 defeat South Sydney 18. Penrith 46 defeated the Sydney Roosters 16. In the second half of games, Cronulla Sutherland 24 lead Newcastle 12. As a Luke Lewis comes in, although he's a bit bigger. The great Latsy, Jeremy Lattimore, Dragons legend as he calls himself. Great to see Latsy. Sharks 24 lead Newcastle 12 and Parramatta 16 leading West Tigers 10. In the New South Wales Cup here, there's 7 minutes 40 left to play and St George Illawarra had the ball on halfway leading South Sydney 30 points to 18. Full time, Penrith 38 defeated the Sydney Roosters 10. In the AFL, Michael just gives me a nudge. Second quarter, Geelong 46 leading Fremantle 15 at Cardinia Park. And final round of Sheffield Shield games underway. South Australia, who are already into the final, hosting that at Carrinolt Oval, 1-133 against Queensland. Western Australia has won the toss and It says elected to bowl, but then I've got WA being 2 for 13, so one of those can't be right. And Tasmania has won the toss and elected to bat against New South Wales at Belrive Oval. The Blues, one of the teams in the running to play South Australia in that Sheffield Shield final. Victoria, it is 2 for 13 in the Wacker against WA. Your texts are welcome, 0467 920 222. All right, let's talk about the games last night. New Zealand Warriors, a 36 points to 16 victory over Manly Warringah, despite conceding a try in the opening minutes. One of the try scorers for the Warriors was their impressive young centre, Ali Liotoa.
He'll play it right up against the uprights now. Egan for the right-hand side to Metcalf. Oh, a little pass in close to Ali Liotoa. And they can score again, the Warriors.
One player has been charged by the Match Review Committee, and that's former Warrior Jazz Tavanga. Contrary conduct, he has been fined. ABC Player of the Year points, 3 to Warriors hooker Wade Egan, 2 to lock forward Aaron Clark, and 1-2 winger Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. It seems like a much-needed performance at home before a packed house, Louis, for the Warriors, bearing in mind their great crowds last year, but their inability to win a lot of those games, and coming off a shocker in Vegas against a Manly team that was white-hot last week against the Cowboys. But when the Warriors took control, they took real control.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, here we go again. I thought Manly were going to get a bit of a run and go on their way, but the Warriors, they worked themselves back into the game. I thought the combination of the 7 and 6 was a lot better from, obviously yeah. We were out at Parramatta watching on TV and calling it. Their forwards really just rolled their sleeves up and they ran harder. They got into position earlier. I think the wider field obviously helped them as well. Their outside backs done a lot of great work, come in and took a lot of pressure off their forwards, which looked like they gave them energy in defence. And they were just up in Manly's face the whole time. It sort of looked like men v boys last night in some occasions. It looked like the Manly side was sort of, just fallen back on, they just expect it to happen, not willing to make it happen. So really enjoyed what the Warriors did last night. It was good. Again, mud on my face because I tipped them to get the spoon. And the way they played last night, they would not be getting the spoon. So that's a great sign. And to win at home, like you said, in front of that packed house is brilliant. And if they can keep building off the back of that, they can get all their home wins and make that a bit of a graveyard for teams to go to. It's going to put them in good stead for the back end of the year.
All right, we'll talk more about that performance with Luke Metcalf in a few minutes. So let's fast forward to the game we called last night. Louis and MC, you were watching. The Sydney Roosters defeating Penrith. It was a remarkable finish. It was a game that really had ups and downs. In very hot conditions, it's got to be said. In the end, it was 7-5 to the Roosters. They won it 38 points to 32. 6-0 Penrith, 6-all, 12-6 Roosters, 12-all. 18-12 Roosters, halftime 18-all. 24-18 Roosters, 24-all. Then it was 28-24 and 34-24 to the Roosters before a late flourish from Penrith and to finish at 38-32. Brian Tottle coming so close to scoring right at the end, literally millimetres away. A great effort defensively from Daniel Tupou. And our boy, Connor Watson, who left crestfallen from Jubilee after being with us for 3.5 hours last
week. You hammered the poor guy.
You did too.
Yes, I never said I didn't.
I was probably the only one who did really hammer it.
Oh, please.
To be fair, I don't think Louis did. Won characteristically.
Louis was really just putting out the fishing rod there.
I was throwing the bait out.
And yeah. Andrew fell for it for the first time.
I did, but questions needed to be asked after the Roosters' pathetic performance in round one. They were the opposite of pathetic last night. They were so good. And I reckon Connor Watson had... I appreciate he's our mate and colleague. I reckon that's the best game I've ever seen him as a starting player. He scored 2 tries, and was he going to speak with John Gibbs after the hard time we gave him last week? Let's hear all of that now. 5 out from the line. Watson, short side right, goes himself, Connor, reaches out and gets there. Who are these people in Penrith jerseys? They don't look like the Panthers at all, and the Roosters look nothing like a team from a week ago. And our man Connor is over to score the try. Plays out the back, Townsend, links up Tedesco. Tedesco over the 40, straight past Cole, bing, bing, past another one. He gets it back on the inside, and our boy's got a double. Connor Watson is over to score, and the Roosters tear Penrith to shreds.
This was an incredible win. This was... When you consider they've been battling to beat Melbourne and Penrith, they're undermanned. Connor, that was just an incredible victory.
Yeah, John T, it took me a lot to do this interview. If this was MC or Louis or Andrew, I probably wouldn't have done it, but it's you, mate. You weren't there last week when they were bagging me for 4 hours straight. So, it was a good win, mate. It's they're such a good side. You know, they just compete to the end, and we made it hard for ourselves at the end there. But just so proud of everyone, and you know, we had a lot of young guys, first, second games, and they did so well. So it's a huge win for us.
What about Fichetti goes to the bin? You look a bit skinny. Then Chad Townsend goes to HIA, and young Hugo Savala comes on. What a time to make your debut.
Yeah, I know. Game was on the line, and he comes out 10 minutes ago, and, he didn't look out of place, mate. It's like, you know, as bad as last week was, getting 50 points put on us, the young guys, they just didn't look out of place. They, really went after the game. The thing that probably got us was our smarts, you know, last week, just doing stuff out of system. But we had a really big week of training, and, you know, it was a tough watching sort of last week's game back, but we just saw what we needed to work on. Still a bit shaky, you know, probably letting in so many points there, and especially those tries on last play. That's sort of been our biggest issue, you know, and that was probably the issue against Brisbane. You'd have 3-4 good tackles, and then last play, we just do something stupid, and then, you know, they skin us and score. So I thought we did a better job of that tonight, and just the boys just hung really tough, and it was good to prove you three in the box wrong. So,
well done. Two tries as well. 53 games since you scored two, so a good time to do it.
It was nice to get over the line there. It's been a little while playing hooky, sort of don't get as much space, so it was nice to get a couple of tries.
Congratulations, a great win.
Thanks, Jonty. Appreciate it.
Connor.
Yes, mate.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, boys.
That was unreal. That was really unreal. I mean, you guys made it nerve-wracking at the end, but you're the better team. That was extraordinary. Well done, mate, in all seriousness.
Yeah, well done, Gruber.
Thanks, guys.
Well played, bud.
I do appreciate you. I'll see you soon, eh?
We never had any doubt. He's a good man. Connor Watson, really happy for him.
Smashed you, blokes.
But, MC, it was a remarkable turnaround. I believe I heard your name. It was just incredible.
It was unbelievable. And, like, deep down, I didn't really care who won last night, but I was sort of cheering the Roosters on at the end there because they deserved to win.
Yes.
It would have been heartbreaking for them if they got pipped at the post, given the amount of effort that they put into that performance. You just got to take your hat off and applaud how good they were last night, because you break down those rosters and it should have got ugly for the Roosters. So that's huge. And it was really interesting to hear what Connor said, saying that the young fellas just didn't seem affected.
Yeah.
The blissfulness of youth, yeah. Right? In a way like that, where, you know, they got pumped last week in a horrific showing, and then they turn around that performance. So they didn't carry the burden of a poor opening week one against the Broncos, and then, you know, weren't overawed against the might of the Panthers.
Louis gave 3 points to Connor Watson, 2 to James Tedesco, and 1 to centre Mark Nwonga Nitawaze. After the 38-32 win, a groin injury in the second half for Dylan Edwards, he limped off the field. And in terms of charges, Selesi Fichetti, the young lock for the Roosters, faces a one-game ban for a high tackle. Victor Radley, though, should be back for that game against the New Zealand Warriors next Friday night. Louis, the worry for Penrith, for me, like, it's round two, and we know that they've overcome some early round defeats over the last 5 years. But their defence, they've gone for 60-odd points or near enough in fact, exactly 60 points in the first two games of the year.
Yeah, definitely not what their standard is. But again, I'm not too worried about them just yet. I feel like they've got it all there.
They've got a big test coming on Thursday.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, they didn't have a massive preseason, but you can't blame it on that because they've done that in the last 4 years. It's been very similar, right? So, yeah, look, I don't know. It was just one of those games where I think an early try... sort of gave them a little bit of false sense of security. And then I think they probably heard during the week about, you know, how many points they could possibly score against this side. And then it just sort of all went, you know, pear-shaped. But, yeah, I'm not too worried about them again. But if they start, you know, next couple of games and they're still letting in, you know, 18, 20 points, then I'll start to probably question, is their drive still there? But, mate, they're a class outfit. They've got good players all over the park. And I reckon Blaise Talangi couldn't be too far away from that side.
Yeah, they've got a hole at 5-8.
Yeah.
Blaise Talangi, you'd want to see him in there.
Well, he got...
Assuming he's...
And Jack Cole got found out a fair bit on that left edge the other night, especially by Tedesco, even though Tedesco burns a lot of people. he got found out a fair bit on his inside and outside shoulder. So, yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
One-eyed Chook on the text line says, never in doubt, boys, with a big smiley face. Fantastic. Your text on 0467 920222. Neil says, could it be that the roasting he gave Connor Watson motivated him to inspire Roosters' victory? That would mean that you boys indirectly caused the Roosters to win. I highly doubt it, Neil. I think...
I don't.
Mates G each other up, and Connor knew that that's all we were doing.
I still would have, but even if I got G'd up by mates, I'll still go back and say, mate, I've got to prove this wrong, you know.
Yeah. Okay, you had me on tenterhooks there for a moment.
Technical difficulties there.
Guys, I picked the Roosters last night as I'm a long-term supporter, says Dave from Willembar. Hey, Maureen boys, can you please give us the Shield updates? I'll do that more and more. Go the Rabbitohs, says Johnny. 0467 920222. Go the Dragon, says Dave in Nowra. Happy Saturday, Andrew, Michael, Luke. Great to hear from you all. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun commentating. From our friend Dion.
Is that for me?
Oh, there's a text here for the Cypress hair set. The Cypress hair setter. Well, the good news is it comes with a phone number. Michael, if you feel like you're in need.
I want it.
0467 920222 with Luke Lewis, Michael Carianis. I'm Andrew Moore, full-time here in the New South Wales Cup. And St George Illawarra has beaten South Sydney 30 points to 18. New South Wales Cup full-time, Penrith 38 defeated the Roosters 10. And updating the other scores we have at the moment, Jersey Flegg, second half, Cronulla Sutherland 24, leading Newcastle 12. It's 22-all between Parramatta and the West Tigers. In the AFL second quarter, Geelong 58, leading Fremantle 15. Sheffield Shield, day one of these final round games. South Australia 1 for 140 against Queensland. Victoria in trouble in Perth against WA at 3 for 20, having been sent into bat. And New South Wales and Tassie will be getting underway in about 5 minutes, a day-night game at Bellerive. Tassie winning the toss, electing to bat first. Coming up next, we're going to check in with the Warriors after their amazing win last night in Auckland over Manly.
The World Test Championship is coming.
He gets connection here, lifts it over the keeper, one bounce for four.
Australia versus South Africa.
And he nicks it, he's got him again.
Catch every ball on the ABC Listen app.
The 2025 NRL Premiership on ABC Radio,
ABC Sport Digital Radio,
and on the ABC Listen app.
Well, as we've discussed, two stunning upsets last night to kick off or continue round two of the NRL season. Headed last night in Auckland by the Warriors' magnificent win over Manly Warringah, coming off a pretty ordinary display in Vegas against Canberra. They ended up belting Manly 36 points to 16, and there was a beautiful pass by Luke Metcalf to lead to a try in the first half, and the Warriors' halfback is on the line. Luke, how are you going?
Yeah, good. The nose isn't feeling too good. I got a little split on the nose. Modelling career's over, but no, I'm feeling good other than that.
Yeah, well, mate, you wouldn't be the first league player. I guess it hurts less when you've had a win like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always makes it a lot better when you come off with a win.
We were at Parramatta last night getting ready to call the Penrith Roosters game, and when Manly scored early, having called your game that you played in Vegas, it was like, oh boy, this could get ugly, bearing in mind how good Manly was a week before. What turned it around on the field last night where you guys went from conceding that early try to being the dominant force in that for the rest of the first half?
Obviously it wasn't the way we wanted to start the game. But, yeah, I feel like we just, no one panicked. We just trusted what we knew would could help win us the game. And I felt like we were pretty good there. Sort of, obviously, you don't want to go 6-0 down after 4 or 5 minutes. I feel like we were pretty calm under the post, just got back into what we knew would get us back into the game. And I felt like we did that and we stayed composed. And once we sort of got into the flow of the game, we looked a lot better.
Luke, well done on the win last night. But talk to me, what's the biggest difference for you this year? I suppose last year it was all about the running game and sort of sitting back and, you know, just playing football. You had Sean Johnson there. Now you're the number seven. You've got to take control. How are you finding that? And I suppose what's the real difference?
Obviously, jumping into that seven role, sort of got a lot more on your plate. Sort of you got to think about where you want to set your kick up, and you got all this sort of stuff that you're thinking about, and you still got to want to have your running game and your passing game's got to be on. So yeah, it's been cool to sort of jump into that role. It's something that I've always wanted to do and something that I always knew I could do. So yeah, it's been really cool to do that. And yeah, like you said, obviously playing in the sixth jersey, it's more about your running and support game, but I feel like I can still have that, even if I am playing halfback. And I feel like I'm just going to learn every week as I go on how to sort of implement that while still being able to do all the other things.
And what about, I suppose, your halves partner there, Harris Tavita? He's going well as well. How's that combination coming along? And where do you think you two boys need to pick up, I suppose, just to continue the form that you showed last night?
Yeah, me and Shanoa, I feel like we connect really well. We get along really well off the field too, so I feel like that's probably a real good starting point for us. And we think the same, like when it comes to footy, we have very similar thoughts. So, yeah, it's good connecting up with Shanoa, and he's a really good runner of the football. And the way he takes those short sides down the left-hand side there is really awesome. And sort of we connected up a couple of times last night. I sort of went down there on the left and linked up with him. And, yeah, it's really good to sort of be playing with him. And he, had another awesome game yesterday.
And what about Vegas, mate? Just talk to me about Vegas. How was that? How'd you find that experience? It would have been pretty cool to go over there and, I suppose, play on that stadium. It looked phenomenal from back here in Sydney.
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, it would have been nice to get the win, but take that out. Yeah, it was so cool being able to go over there and play a game in that stadium. The atmosphere was ridiculous. When we ran out there, I think it was 45, 50,000 people there. It was crazy. So, yeah, that was so cool to be able to do that. And even just the week, it was like you were playing a finals game or something like that. The fans that were there and just the build-up to it all was awesome. So, the four teams who get to go over next year, that's something to look forward to, I know that.
Obviously mentioned playing in Vegas, mate. It wasn't the performance that you guys would have wanted, but what did Webby say to you guys after the game and the improvements that you made heading into that Manly game?
We just spoke about like, that wasn't us. Like everything we practiced and trained for in the preseason and then in going into the preseason trials, it just was completely different and didn't look, when we watched it back, it looked like a completely different team, attack-wise, defence-wise. So we just thought we'd learn from it, take the learnings out of it, but then flush it, like park it. Like that's in the past now. We've learnt from it and then just get back to what we do well and really just hone in on that and focus on us. And I feel like that's what we did. And it obviously helped us last night.
A player that probably doesn't get a lot of the accolades for your side was sensational last night. Wade Egan, talk about his performance yesterday.
Yeah, Wade played really well. He did. He makes it so easy to sort of play out the back of him when he's creating that space for you around the ruck. He's real crafty. And if he had a little bit more pace, he could have had a full pointer there if he, towards the back end of the game. So I've been into him about that. I think he needs to work on his sprint speed. But he's real easy to play out the back, and he's real smart too. So he's awesome to play with.
It seems so crucial for you guys this year, Luke, that you remain fit after the unlucky run you've had through a young career, and Wade Egan, because last night, after a bit of a down year last year where he was battling injuries the whole way through, it was a reminder of how potent he can be. 2 years ago, when you guys made that magical run into the top four, people were talking about him as the form hooker in the entire competition.
Yeah, when he's at his best, that's what he is. I think he's one of the best hookers in the competition. You just see, like, around the ruck, there's not many hookers like him who can create space for other people. But the way he's got his little show one way and go the other way, or he digs in the line, looks like he's hitting short, but then he plays out the back. It's very, very similar to sort of Appy Corriss, out of the way he sort of gets defenders to sink in or turn out with the way his deception. Like, he's really good at it. And, yeah, if he keeps playing like he's playing, I feel like we can only keep getting better.
A big-time switchover in the front row roles from last year to this, with Adam Fanua Blake gone. He's now a Shark, as we know. And in comes James Fisher-Harris. Different kind of front rower, I guess, in some ways, but tough as teak, multi-premiership winner. But everyone at Penrith also, Luke, would always tell us he's got the scariest eyes in the history of rugby league. How have you found his eyes, and how has he fitted in?
He's a very scary man. And pairing with Mitch Barnett, that's two very, very scary fellas. But he's been awesome. And he's been really good, I feel like, for Barney as well, sort of having them two lead our team and being co-captains. Is really awesome, mate. They're sort of they're the same, but they're a little bit different, and I think that's good. Like, they work well with each other, and they vibe off each other. So yeah, they've been awesome. But yeah, Fisher's just, he brought that intensity to I think just around the whole club, whether it's training or in meetings. Like, he's brought that that sort of side that maybe we might not have have had previously. So yeah, I feel like he's just been awesome on and off the field for us, Fish.
And yet you don't want to concentrate on parts that aren't there anymore. But I do want to get your thoughts on Tohu Harris. He's been such a wonderful campaigner with Melbourne and the Warriors, not just as an elite player, but as a leader on and off the field. And, you know, the last few years he's been battling on and playing really well despite being bandaged up and taped up like he's running in the sixth at Menangle Trots. what do you miss with him not being around the team as much at training and on the field this year now that he's been medically retired?
Yeah, Bangers is a legend, he is. He's obviously, you've seen what he's done in the game. He's won premierships at Melbourne and then come over to the Warriors when they probably weren't doing so well, and he's been their best player pretty much every year he's played over here. So, yeah, he was a massive loss last year for us. I feel like his game awareness and his now sort of his ball-playing skills, but even his carrying is pretty underrated, I feel like. And, he was a big loss for us last year. But even this year, I know he was shattered and he just sort of couldn't get over that wrist injury. Like it's been hampering him for a couple of years now. And the boys were shattered for him that he had to call it quits this year. But yeah, it was so cool of the club yesterday to send him off like that. They had a really cool thing before that. I'm not sure if it was on TV, but they had him out in the middle of the field and it was sort of his farewell send off and the whole crowd was there and awesome. Gave him a standing ovation and everything like that. So it was well deserved for Bangers.
And it was another stunning crowd there at home last night for you guys. Sellouts all year last year, but yet the Warriors could really struggle to win games. So really nice that you were able to do that in front of the home crowd. And you've got another one next Friday in the game we'll be calling the 6 o'clock game against the Roosters. I reckon 3 days ago we looked at that draw and thought, oh, after the form in the first round, now after the results last night, this could be a massive game. Were you as stunned as we were with the Roosters knocking over Penrith?
Yeah, they played really well. I saw that game when I got home last night. I saw the finish. It was a crazy finish as well. Yeah, they played really well. Roosters, they were on. Even Penrith, they didn't go away. They're not going to go down without swinging. So, yeah, that was a really good game, exciting game. So, yeah, it'll be cool coming up against them next week.
All right, Luke, really good to have you on the show as always. Our fingers and toes across that you remain fully fit for the whole season leading the attack there in the seven jersey, mate. Play as well as you did last night. It'll be an exciting one ahead. So well done last night. Thanks for joining us.
Sweet. Thanks, fellas. No worries.
Warriors halfback Luke Metcalf. Now, I don't know Luke at all, but apart from doing chats like this, and he's so well-spoken, seems such a decent bloke, and I know, Louis, you had a bit to do with him when he was a youngster coming through at Cronulla. MCU terrorised him for a week and a half in Las Vegas. But what a good fella, and just please stay fit.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a good fella. He's a great footballer. And he's just all around just nice. There's not one little thing about him that's, you could say bad about him. Or he doesn't do G-ups. He takes G-ups very well, but he doesn't do them. He's just too nice to everyone. So, he's a bloke you really like to love if you get to hang out with him and hang around with him. So I'm so glad to see him get this position, this opportunity in that in that seven role and see him doing well, especially out on the weekend.
MC, you enjoyed his company in Vegas?
Super impressive as a person and as an emerging leader of that Warriors outfit. Yeah, out of one of the big takeaways that I had when I was spending 10 days with the Warriors was that I thought he was destined for a really good year, and he put up and the rest of the guys were, and he spoke about how bad they were in Vegas, but then he produced.
Well, he and that 5'8" Harris Tavita looked lost together two weeks ago, and last night they looked great.
Yeah, and it's good to see because, as Louis said, he's such a impressive young guy who you think, what is he, 26 now? He's sort of, he's older than he has played games, right? And that's unusual for a seven now to run that side around. But, let's hope that he can stay fit and produce some good footy.
Round the grounds, Jersey Flag, Warriors and Manly. The Seagulls won that 32 points to 28. This is the New South Wales under-21s competition. St George Illawarra 22 defeated South Sydney 18. Penrith 46 smashed the Roosters 16. Full-time now, Cronulla Sutherland 38 has beaten Newcastle 16. Second half, Parramatta and the West Tigers are locked at 22 apiece. And underway in the first half, Melbourne Storm 8, leading Canterbury Bankstown 6. In the New South Wales Cup, Penrith 38 defeated the Roosters 10, and and here St George Illawarra 30 defeated South Sydney 18. Up next, Newtown and the Newcastle side. AFL halftime, Geelong 76 leading Fremantle 22. Men's Super Rugby underway first half. No score, Canterbury Crusaders and Western Force. Sheffield Shield, day one of these games. Tasmania batting first at Belrive. No wicket for 9 against New South Wales. Victoria reeling 3 for 23 in Perth against WA. And the hosts of the Shield final, South Australia 1 for 145 against Queensland. Off to a very, very good start. On the text line, 0467 920222. Hi, Andrew, loving the show. I was really impressed with Luke's pronunciation of Mark Nwanganita Waze. I'm wondering how Matt Elliott will go after his struggles with it last year. Yeah, we don't really know the answer to that, Rog. I always love the attention to detail all of you put into Grandstand NRL. Thank you, Rog. That's appreciated because it is something that I'm proud of too. And a lot of the clubs this year, for the first time, have actually sent the players saying their name, how they want it pronounced. And you do get variables, though, and I don't understand it. Now, Tom Eisenhuth is, when he was in his last year at Melbourne, filmed a video of himself saying his name, Tom Eisenhuth. This year...
And confirmed it at the Dragons.
And confirmed at the Dragons. So this year in the video,
yeah,
he's Tom Eisenhuth.
Yep.
And it's Matt Eisenhuth. So, look, we try, but that's the last time he gets to change his name. He's now Eisenhuth forever. We had that with Tyrell Sloan, who changed it for a year to Terrell, and then I was only G'ing up.
Well, the Fiennes.
Back to Tyrell. Yeah, the Fiennes, well, they're just going to be that forevermore, because we did ask Matt on the line a year or two ago, and he said Fiennes, so we'll stick with that. Thankfully, Appy Kiroyasau has done his pronunciation, and it is clearly Kiroyasau. The original team from Canberra... Oh, that's a rugby one. 0467920222. Andrew, big fan of you guys. What happened to Simply the Best at the start of the show was always a great way to kick things off. Yeah, Peter, we loved having Tina Turner as well, but there's a crackdown on laws about artists and their songs being used as intros or segment intros to things, so we're simply not allowed to use that anymore. Otherwise, we would have for sure. Boys?
So we should get Dennis just to make one up. Exact same as Tina Turner, but use Dennis' voice.
Do you think...
So get Dennis to sing.
Are you challenging Dennis? Dennis can reach great heights with that voice of his, but do you think he can sound like Tina Turner?
I reckon he can. I'm backing him.
Yeah. Let's go do it, Den Dog.
Well, Dennis has been working on a show intro for about a year and a half now, so I'm sure it'll come at some point. Hey, Maury and boys, I think a lot of people who don't like the Roosters would have been barracking for them last night like me, says Johnny in Brisbane. Boys, I'm still in shock over the Roosters celebrating with a big lunch at the Yacht Club. Your boy Connor was incredible. Cock-a-doodle-doo from Point Piper Peasant. The old Triple P. The Panthers only looked good after they took the penalty goal while 14 points behind. Seems they lacked direction before that. Go the Chooks, says John from Roseville. They really did. And Casey McLean, I know it was 30 degrees, but he couldn't have caught a cold. It was minus 30 with a stiff breeze up his clacky last night. And Dylan Edwards dropped a couple too, which is unlikely.
Brian To'o,
Paul Alamotti. They just looked so discombobulated last night. Until that moment where you thought, they could do this again. They could pull this out of the fire. And if it wasn't for that great bit of desperate defence from Tupou at the end, Tottle would have scored. And I would have backed nearly everything Luke Lewis has ever earned that Cleary would have knocked that over from the touchline.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, too, I almost had you say your famous words.
Oh, he tried to bully me into it like you often do.
Would have kept it, so you would have been fine.
As it turned out, but I did learn that lesson last year, and thankfully I remembered that. 0467 920222. Now, we do have MC's Hammer Time to come. We'll have updates, especially for you Manly fans, on the injuries to Tom Trbojevic and Daly Cherry Evans. Now, can we talk about the movement at South and St George Illawarra this week, or is that part of your MC's Hammer Time? So, for South Sydney, they've picked up Michaeli Ravalawa.
Yes.
St George Illawarra winger, who's still under contract at the Dragons for this year and next, right?
Yes.
But clearly not in Shane Flanagan's plans, as you and I discussed on your Thursday night edition of MC's Hammer Time on Thursday, but he's conjoined South and play from next week, right?
Yep.
And but we'll go back to the Dragons, allegedly.
Yeah, the guarantee for Ravalawa is that he's got a deal at the Dragons next year. I think for both parties, they'd like it to be elsewhere because, you know, he's fallen well down the pecking order at the Dragons, and the Dragons have, you know, one position to have depth in is their outside backs, right?
Yep.
So that's not an area of concern for him. So hopefully he performs well at South Sydney, and who knows, he might be able to stay at South, but it's a similar situation that they've got with Jaden Sullivan as well. So Jaden Sullivan will go back to the Tigers at the end of this year to play out the next 2 years of his Tigers contract. But, you know, the Tigers wouldn't stand in his way if he opted to go elsewhere as well.
Sorry, Andrew.
I think it's smart business from South, right? Because they've obviously got this injury situation, and it's very hard to parachute a player in because a lot of players want the extra year on top of their contract. But they found a way to get guys that do have those contracts.
I'd like to see more of this.
I think it's really smart from South Sydney.
Yeah, I agree.
A short-term fix. It doesn't hurt them long-term. And they get a look at the player. If Ravoala comes out and kills it, well, they'll find some space to keep him next year and beyond. Yep. Same with Jaden Sullivan, whatever the case may be. But it doesn't hurt their salary cap. It doesn't hurt the pathways of guys that they've got coming through either. So I think it's really smart management.
Is that back to the loan system?
Seems to be.
It's a loan. It's an informal loan because what has to happen is you've got to cancel your current contract. And then, you know, it is a way of getting around that loan that we saw, particularly during COVID. Because they were short-term loans, though, weren't they? Where people were going for weeks at a time and then going back. But otherwise, yeah, so these are season-long loans. I like them. I really like it.
We've seen it work. We've seen the loan system work. So yes. Why don't we implement it?
Because teams are paranoid. A couple of things, right? They don't want good players to go. Like, Melbourne were comfortable to let Harry Grant go to the West Tigers because they knew how good that Melbourne system was and no one was going to have
a better... Cameron Smith playing, give him a year in first grade.
Right?
Perfect.
But a lot of teams would be so paranoid that if I let Louis go somewhere else, he might love it there and want to stay there. So you might not necessarily get him back. That's what they're concerned
about.
But
you're only loaning a player out if you don't want him that year anyway, right? If you really want him around for that 12 months...
Right? But, like... There are players, like the Harry Grant was this prime situation of where you want him long-term at your club, but you only want him gone for the year. So that's why clubs get paranoid.
That would be the more rare of the
They get paranoid,
options.
Right? Yeah. But the ones like Ravoala and Sullivan works for all parties. It works for the player because they're playing first grade. It works for the club that wants to get rid of him and it works for the club that signed him. So I really like it.
So Michaeli Ravoala becomes a Rabideau.
Yes.
That frees up the 30-man roster space for David Clemmer. So even though Francis Molo's situation remains unresolved, and I still don't really begin to understand how it's reached this depth, but he'll never play for the Dragons. I read the Roosters were interested in him, but who knows where that's going. But it did free up the spot for David Clemmer to leave the West Tigers. He's officially gone from there now. He joins the Dragons. They've got a bye next week, and he'll be ready to go, I think, for a game against the Melbourne Storm in round 4 for St. George.
Yes.
So that's finally done.
That's done, yep. Clemmer will be... Well, he might even be here today. Ravoala might be sitting in Sowski. Who knows?
Yeah, be interesting. Well, I did across to Lindsay McDougall on the Illawarra Drive show yesterday, and I said, any chance in playing Ravoala against the Dragons? I'm like, A, they wouldn't let that happen, and B, a little bit too late.
Would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been.
No, this wouldn't have let, yeah.
Imagine if he came out here today and scored 3 tries against the Dragons. All right, Michael, there is injury news we need to get on top of, so let's go to MC's Hammer Time.
You can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Yeah, let's start with the injuries. Tom Trbojevic and Daly Cherry Evans.
I've been in text contact with Cherry Evans and Tom Trbojevic this morning. Just before we went on air, I spoke with Anthony Seibold as well. And there's no grave concerns for the players. So Tom Trbojevic said he woke up feeling pretty good.
Okay.
And it was a... You know, and the physio reports have indicated they don't think there's anything there in terms of his hamstring. He felt a stiffness there or a tightness in his hamstring. So obviously, you're not going to take a risk with Tom Trbojevic. He's got scans tomorrow, but Anthony Seibold described them to me as, you know, peace of mind scans rather than anything sinister. It would leave him touch and go for next weekend's game because if there's any...
They've got a long turnaround, but with the flight and stuff like that.
And they're not, if he's not 100%, they're obviously not going to risk him, right? So as for Daly Cherry Evans, he said it's an old man injury. He's copping plenty of flack from the players.
He looked in a lot of pain, though, with that back spasm.
But apparently he was carrying his bags at the airport today and things like that. So I don't even think he's going for scans, Cherry Evans. So Cherry Evans will be fine. Tom Trbojevic scans tomorrow. I'll chase that. I'm on tomorrow. So I should have...
You're joining us for the 4-hour pregame show.
Yes, so I'll have something hopefully then, an update then. That's the... Because he's going for scans tomorrow morning. Dylan Edwards has gone for scans today as well. They're confident as well that it's nothing too serious, but I think he'll probably be long odds to play in that short turnaround against Melbourne.
That's a big blow, even though they've got Dane Laurie. But that's a big blow.
Losing huge blow.
And... if he's missing any time or to leave the field, you know he's hurt. He's one of the toughest players around, yep. Dylan Edwards, that he's proven time after time. All right, what else?
Just an update on Vegas and the potential teams for, for Las Vegas. So they had to put their submissions in yesterday to the NRL. And look, you can lock it down. Dragons, Dogs, 99%. They'll be playing in Las Vegas next year. And they've got that agreement now where they'll gate share in Las Vegas, and they'll share, they'll take a game potentially to the SFS next year, a home, so no sides disadvantaged by having a home game, and split the profits there. So they've put basically a joint bid in.
That's very friendly, isn't it?
It is friendly. It's very smart as well, and you don't lose out too much. So they'll do that next year. And then the others that have put in, will North Queensland, the Dolphins, Melbourne, Newcastle and Parramatta.
Okay.
So they'll be fired in for the other game.
Okay. Well, Peter Vlandis has made it clear, and Andrew Abdo, they want a Queensland team.
So, yeah. So you'd think the Dolphins and North Queensland would be one. Newcastle may have an advantage because they're the one side that have happily said they'll be the home team.
Right.
The rest of them have indicated they'd prefer to be the away side, whether or not that has some sway when the NRL are trying to lock in those teams. So, yeah, you'd assume it would be the Dolphins or North Queensland. And then the only thing around Parramatta and Newcastle to a lesser extent, I just find it strange if you had three big Sydney clubs going to Las Vegas next year, because it leaves you short the following year, because the Tigers don't want to go. I don't think the NRL can force them. So the Tigers, who would have a lot of fans to go, and I think Newcastle would bring a lot of fans well.
Yep.
But Parramatta, Dogs and the Dragons, I'd find it hard to have all those on the one year.
Most likely two, the ones you mentioned, and elsewhere for the other two.
You'd think so, right? But Parramatta are dead keen on going.
Yeah. Well, if not in 2026, it'll be 2027, you'd think.
Well, definitely. Yeah, whoever misses out will definitely be going in. And a few of the clubs, like Manly, would love to go again.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because people were worried about what the fallout would be if there was to be one, having made that trip at the start of the season. All right, thank you, Michael. You got your sunscreen on?
Yeah,
you're going to need it down there, mate, even though the shadows have been cast across the western side of the ground. Head down to the sideline after MC's Hammer Time on this Saturday afternoon.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.